Welcome to this edition of Ecotones. I'm Joy LaClaire. One of the many things we love about Montana, the treasure state, is that we treasure the arts, and particularly here in the Gallatin Valley, we have a rich history of institutions that cultivate artists and ever more creative ways to express and experience the arts. And we have a proud tradition of offering to our children the experience of the arts through our school programs, as well as community cultural events. But what about the children in more rural parts of Montana? And what about arts from a less European and more indigenous lineage? Well, for the second year in a row, Intermountain Opera Bozeman is sponsoring the Wheels of Harmony Tour, sharing indigenous music and culture with Montana's students. The goals of Wheels of Harmony are to expose as many students as possible to indigenous music and culture, including opera, to engage students in meaningful discussion about Montana and the United States tribal nations, and to encourage students to consider music performance as an option in their life. To find out more about this, we spoke with the general director of Intermountain Opera Bozeman, Susan Miller, and Choctaw baritone and wind instrument musician Mark Billy, who is returning for his second Wheels of Harmony tour. Welcome to Ecotones, Susan Miller and Mark Billy. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Susan, you are general director of Intermountain Opera Bozeman, and your background includes having served as the director of visitor and volunteer services at the Museum of the Rockies between 2007 and 2011, and then as director of education and marketing and outreach at Montana Shakespeare in the Parks from 2011 to 2021. And you were one of the co-creators of the Montana Shakes Elementary Outreach Program and helped expand that tour from a 3-week pilot program in 2008 to the 12-week tour it is today. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because last year, Intermountain Opera launched the Wheels of Harmony Tour, which was a truly extraordinary endeavor. Tell us about that 2023 tour, and we'll also ask Mark Billy's impressions, since he was one of the trio of Indigenous artists who actually did the tour, and he's returning for the upcoming 2024 Wheels of Harmony. So, Susan, let's begin with you.
In 2023, we launched the pilot tour of Wheels of Harmony, and the reason we have such an incredible guest artist like Mark, who we're able to bring to Bozeman, usually with our main stage productions, but what a wonderful opportunity to be able to share such incredible performances with the rest of the state. From my bio, it's clear that school tours are in my blood, and I've previously toured the state as an actor with Montana Shakespeare in the Parks. And I know how wonderful the audiences are all around the state, but how rarely they get to experience such incredible artistic opportunities like the tour that we're bringing with Wheels of Harmony.
Mark Billy, now you were on that 2023 tour, and it was a marathon, not a sprint. Share with us some of the impressions that you had, the good, the bad, the whatever you want.
Similar to Susan's background, I sort of have school tours in my blood as well. I was trying to count up. I definitely don't remember exactly the exact number of like shows, school shows that I've done. But I've done shows in Hawaii, in Fargo, North Dakota, in my home state, Oklahoma. I've done a couple there. I live in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. I'm part of a group called Imaginality Opera, and I just finished a school show today singing for first through third graders at a school. When I was approached with the conception of Wheels of Harmony, I was just so honored and amazed that not only did they want me to sing, to be an opera singer and to show that to these youth, but also they wanted me to share my Indigenous culture. And that's something that has been like my niche or part of my brand, is to join classical music, opera, singing with Indigenous culture. And a big way for me to do that is to sing in my native language, which is Choctaw, but also to uplift Indigenous composers, contemporary Indigenous composers that are still alive. And we have a great number of those writings from them on this tour.
For listeners who have no idea what the Wheels of Harmony tour is and does, what happens at a typical performance?
Typically, we show up, we check in to the administration at the school. They show us where we're going to be performing, and that really, truly could be anywhere. It could be a gym, it could be an auditorium, it could be a classroom. But really, versatility is like the word for school shows. So we show up, and they show us where we're going to perform, and we rehearse a little bit and get ourselves ready, and then they bring the people in, and we start our show. And usually, it starts with some sort of interactive, like, lots of times, and this is like, my favorite part of the thing is that I get to teach Choctaw, and I get to teach them the words and then teach them some song, and they sing it with us. And that's, I don't know, that's one of the coolest memories for me and what I'm most excited about coming up.
And Joy, I can tell you from our surveys to teachers and students last year, learning Choctaw, learning a little bit of Cherokee from another one of the artists last year, that was one of the students' favorite part, was to be able to participate and learn just a small part of a different language.
Now, Mark, you not only have a gorgeous baritone voice and presence, I've checked you out on YouTube, but you also play the flute, the native flute. Tell us about that.
I'm actually, my very first instrument was the saxophone, and then I changed to clarinet, and I was a clarinetist all through high school and went to university to study clarinet performance. And while I was there, I started taking voice lessons, and that sort of took over my life. But all through that, because I was a wind player, every relative that I ever had would always buy me native flutes as like a birthday present or a Christmas present. So I had this collection of flutes that I never really did anything with. And then I went to college and I took this music history class that had a great focus on the native flute and like all of the meanings and how it's a wonderful connection to your culture. And I just started playing it. And as you know, somebody who's a trained wind player, like it wasn't that difficult. And it was a wonderful way for me to express and to honor my culture.
And you will be doing some of that in the classrooms going around Montana, right?
Yes, this year I'm playing native flute, I'm singing, and I'm also going to be playing clarinet on a piece as well.
The one-man band.
Yes, yes. There's some statistics on the Intermountain Opera website of last year's Wheels of Harmony tour. It says that 1,144 students were served, 111 teachers were served, 12 schools were visited, 1,299 miles traveled by, they're calling you artists, educators, and 18 classrooms visited. That's really something. Mark, can you tell us a little of the day-to-day? How were you traveling, in a car, in a bus? Where were you staying? All that sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah, no, the tour it's a wonderful thing if you like the people you're touring with. And thankfully, we did. We all got along really great. And I think that's going to be the same for this year. Two of us are returning. The pianist is named Cruz Berry. And we have a new singer with us, a soprano named Sage Di Palma. And we all seem to get along really great now. And I think we travel in a vehicle, like an SUV, because we have to carry around drums and equipment such as a PA system and all of our luggage as well, because, like, you know, we are traveling and going to different hotels and Airbnbs. And it's a fun time. And it's sometimes not for the faint of heart because you are on the road so much. But I also am really grateful to get to see these smaller towns and try, and especially to try their food and, you know, meet people. We always meet people in the community when we like go to restaurants. People are like, "You guys are not from here." And they talk to us and kind of, you know, get to know us. And it's, I know that touring is not for everyone, but I've done it this so many times. I must enjoy it. So.
Yes, you must. Tell us a little bit more about your background, Mark. You grew up in Oklahoma. Tell us about your people.
Yeah, so I'm Choctaw from the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. My dad is full-blood Choctaw. My mom was almost full-blood. So I'm one of the few people, I think, that has such a large just background in being Choctaw. My dad actually, his first language was Choctaw, and didn't speak English until I think the third grade or something. There's a story that I always talk about that he used to get in trouble talking to his brothers in school in Choctaw because they weren't allowed to. They had to kind of, you know, assimilate and speak English, and he would get in trouble for that. I really kick myself now because I remember when I was a kid, like, you know, your parents want you to do something and you don't want to do it. So like when they were trying to get me to, you know, speak in Choctaw, I was like, Mom, Dad, why do I have to do that? And now I'm so very into learning that. I wish I had learned that when I was a kid. I learned enough and I wish I knew more. I wish I was fluent in it. So I grew up in a small town called Antlers, Oklahoma. I always say my graduating class was 70 people, which is very low, but also kind of big for that area because I know other towns that have classes of like 10. So very, very rural. And then I went to the University of Oklahoma for clarinet performance when I graduated high school. And I just immersed myself in music and just all of these opportunities. I can remember, and I should have known that this was like a calling to be an opera singer. My very first opera that I ever performed in was playing clarinet in the pit for the French opera by Delibes Lachmey. And it's got some amazingly beautiful orchestral and especially woodwind parts. But I just remember thinking, like, this is amazing music. And I'm just like emoting and making all of these musical choices that I know are probably moving people, but I can't see the audience because I'm in the pit. I'm like, I want to be up on the stage. But when I thought that, I never imagined that I would be singing on the stage. It just was not something that I ever thought of. And I always say that I kind of fell into it, but really I did discover that I had a voice and that my voice had something to say. And I've just been riding that ride this whole time. So after University of Oklahoma, I went to Indiana University for grad school. And for as large as my university was for undergrad, they're about four times that and have all of these coaches and conductors and pianists and language specialists and voice teachers, like everything you could possibly need to be a professional singer. I got that training there. You know, you get out of graduate school and you start your career doing young artist apprenticeships. I've done the young artist program at Hawaii Opera Theater and at Fargo-Moorhead Opera. I've got to sing some roles there. And I've just been kind of freelancing and singing for my life.
They say there's no such thing as coincidence. Well, today is actually Delibes' birthday. He was born on February 21st, 1836. And the reason I know that is because I featured him last Sunday on harmonics with the flower duet from Lachmey, which to me is one of the most exquisite duets ever composed. But anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it sounds like given your early educational background, touring these very small schools in rural Montana is probably not as strange as it might be to some people. Do you feel kind of at home in the situation?
You know, I will say, I was just thinking about this. So, you know, as a marching band kid, as somebody who plays clarinet in a marching band, I've been on band buses that have traveled maybe even farther than we traveled in Montana. And riding on a band bus or riding in an SUV where you get to stop whenever you need to is very, very much a luxury compared to that. But yeah, I'm used to it. And I, you know, my parents always took me to places. They would take me across the country to travel, like for family vacation. So it is very normal to me.
I'm glad to hear that. Susan, would you share with our listeners the upcoming events on the Wheels of Harmony tour that will be happening in Bozeman? Because that's where it starts.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are lucky to be welcomed into Native American Hall, their community room, on Monday, March 4th. We will be having a preview performance. It will be the artist's first time performing in front of an audience. It's free and open to the public, and it begins at noon on Monday, March 4th at Native American Hall in the community room. So parking at MSU, is what it is, but they do have the parking garage that's just a couple of blocks away. And then on Friday, March 8th at 6 p.m., we will be going back to XY Planning Network. They had a community performance for us there last year as well. By this time, now the artists will have had about 4 or 5 days under their belt. We'll do another show, and there will be food and drink and a reception following to get a chance to mingle with the artist.
And there's also going to be performances at Sacagawea Middle School. That's on the 5th. And then at the end of the tour, Longfellow Elementary, that's the 22nd. Those are not open to the public, obviously.
Right. Yes. So they will be in Bozeman right at the beginning and at the very end of the tour. Also in Belgrade on the Monday of their final week at Pass Creek, a one-room schoolhouse in Belgrade.
Give us an idea of some of the places that they'll be performing on the tour.
They will be traveling first heading east. They'll get to go to Tippett Rise and perform in their beautiful venue for 3 elementary school audiences from that area.
Which we did not get to last year, but we got to stay at Tippett Rise because there was so much snow.
Exactly. Knock on wood that the buses can get up the hill to that venue again. They'll be in Lame Deer on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation. And then after the first week of tour, they're going to head west out to Victor, Montana, going up through Polson, and then ending that week in Kalispell. So completely all across the state. Finally, the last week of the tour, the third and final week of the tour, which is an extension from last year's 2-week tour, they'll be in sort of central Montana, Helena, Cascade, Shodo, and then back again to Bozeman at the very end.
Well, that just sounds wonderful. Susan, perhaps you could share a little bit more about the other 2 individuals on the tour. Sage De Palma, for example.
Yeah, so Sage, we have met her virtually, and she's lovely. She's Cherokee, a soprano who has recently taken a little bit of a break from performing to become a mom, but she has done all sorts of work around the country, studied with so many incredible people, and we're very lucky to have her on the tour. And then returning along with Mark is Jay Cruz Berry, and he is a Chickasaw pianist and composer. So one of the fun things that Cruz has up his sleeve for this year's tour is to perform a Philip Glass piece that then we're working on how we're going to make this happen, but we're going to have an expanded large print view of the sheet music in chunks in different sections. And he's going to let the kids choose which section of the sheet music should be played first, second, third, fourth, etc. And then he'll play it the way it was originally written. And then he'll play it the way the kids decide it should be written.
Oh, that's delightful.
Yeah.
Very cool.
My understanding is that he grew up on a sheep farm, and his dad is Saudi, and his mother is Chickasaw, and again, in a small town in the Chickasaw Nation. And he said, quote, "I can never thank my parents enough for being so willing to let me chase something, namely performing arts, that was so alien and unfamiliar to them." I think that's lovely. And he also has experience working with children. He's been working with the Children's Center Rehabilitation Hospital, where he assists music therapists with lessons and engagement learning exercises and activities. And as you mentioned, this is his second year on the tour, so that surely has to be helpful.
Absolutely.
Can I just mention also that you have a lot of time with your fellow tour mates? Cruz and I were talking about that. So we grew up, I would say, maybe within half an hour, 40 minutes from each other. And wow. he was a trumpet player in high school, and I said I was a clarinetist. We have actually played in honor bands together. And then, of course, the clarinetist and the trumpets didn't talk to each other. So, like, we didn't know each other. But I just thought that was kind of a cool little discovery that we had actually performed together in high school without knowing it.
That's amazing. And here you are together again at last.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, Susan, I do want to include the upcoming performance by the opera La Boheme.
Thank you for the opportunity. Yes, so La Boheme is our final performance of our 23-24 season. It opens Thursday, April 25th at the Ellen Theater runs for 4 performances, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. And then leading up to La Boheme, on Friday, April 12th, we have a really remarkable one-night-only live concert where we will present numbers from La Boheme alongside their parallel pieces from Rent, the rock musical, and featuring some of our La Boheme cast and performing the Rent pieces will be Paige Rasmussen from Paige and the People's Band, who's very well known in this town, and Jeff Kiddo, founding member of the Clintons, who is also an opera singer and rock singer as well. So we'll have a crazy concert at the Filler on Friday, April 12th at 6:30 p.m.
Since you don't seem to have enough on your plate already, Susan, we would be remiss in not letting our listeners know that you will be doing a Last Best Comedy event on Saturday, March 9th. What do you want our listeners to know about that?
Yeah, I think they call it Notorious B.O.Z.
Okay.
It's Last Best Comedy is Montana's only comedy club. And this is a very fun event where they ask, quote unquote, Armando, a storyteller, to come and present a few stories from their life and their incredible improv team improvs around it. So I'll tell some, I don't know, it'll be based on whatever the audience throws out there. So I'll tell some stories based on suggestions, and then they will create something magical out of it somehow. It's crazy. I've been before. They're so funny. And it's not so much about the person. It's not about me. It's about the improvers, for sure.
So you set up the narrative. Is that it?
Exactly. I basically give them something to create, and you know, who knows where they'll take it there, but they're brilliant, brilliant performers.
And that's Saturday, March 9th from 8 to 9 p.m. at the Last Best Comedy Show.
Exactly. Yeah. You have done your research there.
Oh, I'm famous for my research.
Can I also just say that like one of my goals for this tour is to see Susan perform and sing the people that she sings with, because I've seen videos of it, but I didn't even know that Susan sang until after tour. So we're going to find a time that we get to see you.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with her. How about some final words first, Mark, with you?
I'm just so incredibly honored and excited. One of the things that we've been talking about developing or like having this year is I've reached out to 4 of the composers that we're programming. And they're going to make a little video that says like, "Hi, I'm glad to present my music to you and greet our audiences." So I'm really excited about making that connection that these people are living, breathing people that are writing probably right at the second. Because new music can be really powerful, and especially with the Indigenous connection, it's just, yeah, I'm really grateful and honored.
We're so lucky to have you out here, Mark.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And Mark, I hope to include a song that you have sung, which I got off YouTube, "You Think I'm an Ignorant Savage," Judy Kuhn's song from Pocahontas. Can you tell me the name of the pianist who accompanied you? Because it wasn't included in what I saw.
Yeah, so that's from a concert that I did in October. His name is Osip Nikiforov. He's a Russian pianist. We both teach at the St. Paul Conservatory of Music in town, and that recital was sponsored through them. I think we're going to be going to a music festival together this summer to do sort of the same kind of thing. Oh my goodness. What a joy to work with a collaborator like that.
I was not familiar with the song before, and it's really quite beautiful, especially the way you sing it. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm an ignorant savage, and you've been so many places, I guess it must be so. But still I cannot see if the savage one is me. How can there be so much that you don't know? You don't know. Has a spirit, has a name. You think the only people
That was the beautiful voice of our guest, Mark Billy, singing You Think I'm an Ignorant Savage. Susan Miller and Mark Billy, thank you for joining us on Echo Toes and the wonderful creative work you are doing, bringing not just music, but culture to Montana and the students of Montana. It makes it a very special, special place, I'll tell you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Joy.
You have just heard a conversation with Susan Miller, General Director of Intermountain Opera Bozeman, and Choctaw baritone and wind instrument musician Mark Billy about the upcoming Wheels of Harmony tour. Two free performances are being made available to the community. On Monday, March 4th at noon, the artists will preview the tour at MSU's Native American Hall at noon. And then on Friday, March 8th at 6 p.m., XY Planning Network hosts a second community performance in their gorgeous offices overlooking downtown Bozeman. Attendance is limited at each performance to 100 attendees each. Now you can find out more and register for the limited number of seats for these free Bozeman performances at www.intermountainopera.org. An ecotone is a transition zone between two biomes. It's where two communities meet and integrate. This program, Ecotones, explores the variety and diversity of the greater Gallatin Valley community and beyond, offering the echoing tones as our communities influence and are influenced by each other, bridging limits and boundaries and celebrating diversity. Ecotones is a Beyond the Deep End production, recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire in Bozeman, Montana, for broadcast on KGVM Bozeman and archiving at kgvm.org. We thank you for listening and for supporting your listener-supported community radio station, Gallatin Valley Community Radio, KGVM Bozeman.